Guy told me one time, you can pick your friends, but you stuck with your kinfolk, so we just nerds need to learn how to get along. We're talking today about false prophets, and I know I've talked about this probably several times over the years that I've been here, but to me it's worth talking about, because they're a very real danger, very real threat to God's people, to those who are not God's people, who are thinking about becoming God's people. Our text will be out of 1 John chapter 4, and I'm using the New Living again today because I like the way it's worded. So, let's go right into our text. John writes, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world, and indeed is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Those people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. That is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. Father, I thank you for your word. I know that your word is truth. Lord, I ask that you would open our ears today, our spiritual ears to hear. I ask that you would take this message to our hearts, cause us to examine ourselves to see if we are really following you or if we're prone to follow every wind of doctrine that we hear. I thank you that you left this word for us as a guideline, as a way that we should know what is good and evil, what is right and wrong, what is righteous and what is not righteous. Thank you for all that have come out to hear your word this morning. I ask, Lord, that I will decrease, that you might increase. Holy Spirit, please speak through me and convict us of the truth. I ask it in Jesus' name. As I said, I know I've talked about this before. We've talked about it, but it bears talking about again. We're talking today about false prophets, and first, I would like to look at what the word prophet means. According to Dr. James Strong's Concordance of the Hebrew and Greek, the word prophet is a foreteller, an inspired speaker. I was told this in Bible college. A prophet is someone who foretells in Scripture. They tell the future, like Isaiah, Jeremiah. We've been studying the minor prophets. They predict future events. But they said it's also an inspired speaker, so they foretell or they tell forth. Now, that's what I do. Am I saying that I'm a prophet? No. But I'm saying that I hope I speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So a prophet isn't just somebody that tells the future. It's an error to me, and I've heard a lot of people in the Restoration churches, Churches of Christ, Christian Churches, Society. Well, the gift of prophecy is gone. You won't find that in the Bible. I challenge you to show me where it says that in the Bible, because it doesn't. The Bible says when the perfect has come, then the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, the gifts of healing will all be done away with. Well, the perfect ain't come yet, sleepy. The perfect coming is when Jesus Christ returns and gathers his church. Then we won't need those gifts. All right. So, John is speaking to the church today about false prophets. And I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek, because I never had any Greek. But the word in the Greek for prophet was one word, and the word for false prophet was pseudo-prophesy. I think prophesy or prophesyess. Anyway, that word pseudo, we know what that means. It's phony, it's fake. And John today is warning the church about false prophets. So there was two words that they used when they spoke of prophets. One was the true prophet. Matthew used it when he referred to Isaiah. Jesus was called the prophet from Galilee. That was used in that sense that Jesus did foretell. He foretold a lot of things, but he was also inspired by the Holy Spirit. He spoke for God. And Jesus warned us about false prophets. He said, do not let anyone mislead you. Now this is the Lord speaking, so we need to pay attention to what the Lord is saying. Many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. Then if anyone tells you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. See, I have warned you about this ahead of time. Now, the reason I included this in today's lesson is that if Jesus thought it was so important to warn us that there would be false teachers, and the apostles thought it was worth repeating, we need to be on our guard. Peter told us that. He said, our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. So we need to be on guard. Not everyone that says, thus saith the Lord, is speaking for the Lord. John uses the Spirit here is capitalized, so he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. When he says, not everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. Not everyone who claims to speak by the Holy Spirit is speaking by the Holy Spirit. There's a perfect example of that in 1 Kings chapter 22. If you're familiar with the story of Ahab, one of the wickedest kings northern Israel ever had, he got into Baal worship. He married the king of Sidon's daughter, Jezebel, and she really got heavy into it. They killed God's prophets, and there was only a few of them left. The prophet Elijah killed the prophets of Baal. And in this part of the text, Ahab has defeated the king of Syria twice in battle because God was with him and defeated him. And he's gone out a third time. He has 400 prophets who are supposed to be speaking by the Spirit of God. And they're saying, go out, God's going to give you the victory. And there was a young king from the southern kingdom, and he said, do you have any other prophets here? I like that because he said something's not right. And Ahab said, there's one guy named Micaiah, and I can't stand him because he never says anything good about me. Sometimes the word of God hurts. Huh? I've had people come tell me, boy, you really stepped on my toes. I didn't do anything. If your toes get stepped on, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the word of God stepping on you. And I'm not trying to elevate myself. I'm saying that the word of God will convict us when we're in the wrong. And that king said, the other king said, well, call him. And the captain that came down said, now all the other preachers are saying he should go. They're preachers for hire, the paycheck preachers. They said you should go. So you need to say the same thing. And he said, well, whatever the Lord tells me, that's what I'll say. And he gets in there and Ahab says, shall I go? And he goes, yeah, go up. God will give you the victory. I love that. And Ahab goes, how many times do I need to make you swear to tell me the truth? You know what that told me? Ahab knew that something was up. Kai said, well, okay. You're going to die. And the lead prophet slapped Kai in the face and said, where did the Spirit of God go for me to go? He said, well, I'll tell you, I was in the throne room of heaven and I saw the host of heaven gathering God's throne. And God was saying, who will I send to entice Ahab to go to his death? And he said, one said one thing, one said another. He said, then this person stepped up and said, I'll live. I said, how do you plan on doing that? And he said, I'll be a lion. God said, yes. So Micaiah said, King, these other paycheck preachers, these 400 prophets, self-proclaimed prophets, are lying to you. They are not speaking by the Spirit. And Ahab said, put him in prison till I come back and feed him bread and water. And I love what Micaiah said as they lead him out the door. He said, if you come back, then God will be with you. Ahab didn't come back. Ahab made a choice to listen to the false prophets. He liked when they said that. There's an example of someone claiming to speak in the name of God through the Spirit of God who are not speaking through the Spirit of God. John said in this text, there's two spirits at work here. He was talking to church. There's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and then there's the Spirit of the Antichrist. Now, if you're familiar with language, anti means against. So when we talk about the Antichrist, it literally means the one who is opposed or against Christ. And we know who that is. I was wondering the other day, I think about weird things, I guess, but I was wondering the other day, what's the devil got against me? Why does he want to pick at me? I've never done anything to him that I know of. But he comes after me. I think it's because, one reason, because I believe in Jesus Christ. And he is against Christ, so he's against anyone that believes in Christ. Remember, Jesus said, these people's goal is to deceive you. Deceive means to trick you, to pull you away from believing something you should believe, and help want to get you to believe something, want to get you to want you to believe a lie. It would be easy if these false prophets would show them, go, hi, I'm a false prophet. There's nothing Christian about me. And I'm here to deceive you and drag you down to hell with me. So come on, let's party. But they don't do that. They come to you and go, this is what the Lord says. I was in a Pentecostal church 2 years, and when anyone would prophesy, we'd be speaking regular English, and they'd go, thus saith the Lord. Get ready, it's prophecy time. They're speaking King James English. It must be prophecy time. Now, I'm not against the King James. I had a guy got angry at me once and said, I shouldn't make fun of the King James. I'm not making fun of the King James. I make fun of the King James only attitude. It's immature and childish. When God's people say, well, the King James Bible is the only good translation of the Bible. I know I got sidetracked. You don't have to pay me for that. Jesus warned us there would be false teachers. He said they would be sheep's, or be wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. So he said they'll look like sheep, they'll talk like sheep, they'll act like sheep, but they ain't sheep. They're wolves. What did Jesus say the wolves do? They scatter. They tear things apart. Today I want to focus just on the first three verses. This is going to be a two-part sermon. So you need to come back next Sunday and we'll look at verses 4 through 6. This Sunday, I want to look at verses 1 through 3. John said, dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. That's what he said. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world. Now, as I said, Spirit here is capitalized. So that's speaking of the Holy Spirit. So John said, listen, don't believe everybody just because they come up and say the Spirit of God has said. We're responsible to test that. Paul said in the church of Corinth, when anybody prophesies, let the others judge. Well, what? How do we judge? Dare we judge? When somebody says this is what the Lord said, this is how you judge. Does it go with the Word of God? If it does not, then the answer is they are not speaking by the Spirit of God. If you have to add to this or take away from it, you are not speaking by the Spirit of God. That is the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of deception. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Because if you contradict this word, you are speaking against everything God has promised us, including the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I've made it a hobby, and it's not in depth, but I've studied other religions and teachings. And I find every one of them, without exception, contradict certain teachings in this book about the Lord Jesus Christ. So John said to the church of his day and to today, when anyone speaks by the Spirit, you judge what they tell you. Well, the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged, brother. That's not what Jesus was talking about. I've heard that for years. Are we allowed to judge? You're allowed to judge what I'm saying. You're allowed to go home and open this book and read it and say, was Rick speaking the truth or not? And I encourage you to do that. So John said to the church, whenever anyone comes to you and says, this is what the Lord says, you need to investigate that. I remember one lady in the Nazarene church used to tell me, don't confuse me with facts, preacher. Just tell me what I need to know in order to get to heaven. What? My job is to make you think like me. That's scary. You don't want to think like I do. My job is through yourselves to be disciples of me. My job is to tell you that this is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. You can trust it in every area of your life. If this book says it's wrong, it's wrong. If it says it's right, it's right. John was dealing with false prophets coming into the church of his day, and it was called Gnosticism. In fact, when you read the book of John, if you understand he was dealing with Gnosticism, you see a thread throughout the whole word where in the epistle where John is refuting the teaching of the Gnostics. And that's why he is saying this in chapter 4 of this church. He said, look, just because they come in there and say, God's given me this revelation. Most Gnostics and a lot of false prophets claim divine dreams, visions, and angelic visitation. Why? Because that adds weight to what I'm saying to you. An angel told me what Paul said, whether we or an angel from heaven, any other gospel, the one you heard, that Greek word is strong. It means eternally dead. Paul said, let them go to hell forever. Whether it's a man or an angel, there were people in the early church. John said, every spirit that does not confess in Christ is refuting Gnosticism. Gnostics taught that the human body is inherently evil, and if Jesus is a God, literally, he could not have inhabited a human body. So he was an aspiration. I think that's the word. He was a phantom. He only looked human, but he was only a spirit. Remember what John said in the first chapter? He touched him again. I said, Jesus invited him to touch him right here. He sure did. He said, touch me, feel me, a spirit. That was. The Gnostics were telling the people, this Jesus, he was a God. There's a lot of gods, and that's your God, not a God. Creflo Dollar. I don't mind naming the Beatles. I watched him on TV, and he said, when two dogs get together, what do they make? And the congregation said, dogs. He said, when two cats get together, what do they make? Cats. And, you know, when two horses go horses. He said, when gods get together, what do they make? Yes, you're gods. I'm a God. Well, I'm not much of a God, but I am a God. My life feels out of control most of the time. Believe me, if I really was a God, I'd have a heart attack and a prayer day of the week. I'd have two or three beautiful wives who just adored the ground I walked on. You want to scratch? But see what I'm saying? I'm not a God, and neither are you. And if you believe that, I'm sorry to break you. You're not a God. We're created in God's image. And see, the Gnostics were telling the church, you're a God. You just haven't realized your Godhood yet. And there is no sin. The only sin you need to deliver from is your ignorance of your own divinity. John said in chapter 1, we say we are without sin, we are liars. The whole theme of John, he's refuting false teachers. He's just not pointing people out and calling them by name yet. He did later. Paul did. He said, I'm coming to you this time. I'm going to rob you in love. Because he said, I'm fixing to come and rain on you. Paul had reason with him. He said, look, if this isn't true, they kept teaching falsehood, and Paul said, the next time Paul studied. John here is dealing in a loving way with the church. He understands they're new Christians. Gnosticism was a Jewish cult. I thought it was Greek. I researched the Jews started. So, in their favor, the Gentile Christians go, well, these guys are Jews. They're God's people. They have God's word, so they know what they're talking about. John said, look, just because they say the Spirit says, it's like a rich guy that he spoke of. 400 people by the this is serious. Jesus said there would be those claiming that he is the Christ. There's two implications for me in that. Jesus is saying there's people that's going to come and say, I am Jesus the Christ. They're going to like you. Then there's people that's going to come and say, I am Jesus. Those are the easy ones for us to swap out of. I mean, I really hope. If somebody came to me and said, you know, we're coming to the side. I don't have said wonder about it. Just because somebody said this, I don't have to take that God. This is investigated. The Gnostics said Jesus was a God who did not come to human body.
body, because the human body is evil. You know what else they said? Because your bodies are evil, you can't help but sin and work on me. I'm glad that you're a husband. I heard preachers say it. Well, because we live in a sinful body, we are going to sin. Just don't worry about it. You're going to sin and work on me. That's Gnosticism. That's what John and the other apostles were trying to keep out of the church. Guess what? It's here. We're nowhere. Does the Bible say the human body is sinful? Now, are we sinful? Yes. But God didn't create this body sinful. I get hungry. God made me that way. Not hungry all the time, but He made me where I'm getting hungry. Because that's my body's way of saying you need nourishment, isn't it? Did God give us sexual desires? We're all adults. Yes. Why? For procreation, for making more people. But did He put parameters on that? Yeah. He put parameters on food, believe it or not. We're not supposed to overeat. That's all right. We're not supposed to overeat. It's sinful to be gluttons. See what I'm saying? The body isn't sinful in itself. So the Gnostics were wrong. And it was funny to me, they said there is no such thing as sin except the ignorance of your own divinity. But then they said the body was sinful. Jesus was the body. The God said, well, any spirit tells you that, He isn't God. I have a Worldwide Church of God, Herbert Armstrong called her one time. Wanted to ride with me in the feed truck. He got permission from my boss. He didn't ask me, he asked my boss. He said, yeah, I'm not with my boss. Wants. He started talking about Armstrong's God. Talking about Jesus, the Jesus of the Church of Armstrong, who was not God in the flesh. And I said, wait a minute, brother, let me ask you a question. Do you believe, Herbert Armstrong believed, that Jesus Christ is God Almighty? No, I said, you're a false prophet. Anything you have to say, you're going to go off me like water off the dust back. So you might as well not talk to you. He didn't talk to me the rest of the trip. I'm pleased with that. I just jammed ears and did it. I often talk to you. I said, you want to talk about this? I said, what? I heard the false prophet on the drum. And I'll tell you what the truth is. Well, I heard our Well, no, then he's a false prophet. My God is a prophet. If he's anything in the name of the Lord that doesn't happen, it's not God talking. See, that's why we need this book. So John said to the church to begin with, in these first three verses, look, if they come to you and said Jesus wasn't here in the flesh, it's not God. And I found that litmus, I call it litmus, works for all the cults. Anybody that comes to you and says, I believe in Jesus Christ, and they want to talk to me about the plan of salvation. I like people to do that. I'll stand there and listen to it. Yeah, tell me about the Jesus. Tell me about the plan of salvation. But if it starts sounding funky, all I have to do is say, wait a minute, is Jesus God who came in the flesh? Well, no, okay, we're done. I don't have to listen to it. That's what John was telling the church. That's all you got to do. Judge what's being said. Judge by the word. Because he said there are deceivers. Intentional deceivers. There are people who claim angelic vision, dreams. I've talked to people like that. Well, God gave me this dream, really. But He said, and I'll listen to people when they go, they're a little bit what happened. 99.9% God gave me that. John said the church were people with two types of spirit, Holy Spirit, God Almighty, and such you, all prophets. No, not because I knew that. The Bible is separation from God. All the false things.
With that, well, then you can just say, I don't agree with you. You read of Antipas in Revelation. Jesus referred to him as his faithful martyr. And there's not a lot known about Antipas, but what is known is at the time they were killing Christians, and one of the methods that they liked to use, they would take a hollow brass bull. The bull was a Egyptian god, and the Romans had a bull god. And they would place the Christian inside of it and build a fire under it for roasting to death. That's not a fast kill.
And Antipas had become friends with a Roman soldier. And when it came his turn, the Roman soldier said, Antipas, just deny your faith and you don't have to die this way. And Antipas said, I can't. And the soldier said, Antipas, don't you realize that the whole world is against you? And Antipas said, that's somebody who knew the truth. John said, look, just because somebody speaks to the Lord, look, back and forth, teach the Lord. Paul was part of the church, false teachers, claim that God has told them to teach something that God has not told them to teach. And the way you can spot that, the way you can understand whether they're teaching the truth is to compare it with the Word of God. The Word of God teaches. If it does, they can confess that God Himself came in the flesh. Then John said they are from God. Now, I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but I don't believe in everything caused the church to teach about the gifts. But that doesn't make them false prophets. I love the Southern Baptists, but I don't agree with everything the Southern Baptists teach. I like Bodie Bachman. I didn't agree with everything Bodie Bachman said. Didn't, for me, it didn't make him a false prophet. We're all going to have differences of dogma, things that we take away from the doctrine of the Bible that we hold on to. That doesn't mean that you're not a Christian or a false prophet. But remember what John is saying, what Jesus said, what Paul said, what Peter said. These people's job is to separate you from God, not bring you close. They are anti-Christ. They are against. That is their goal and that is their job. The Spirit, the Bible teaches very plainly that there is a Spirit of truth. Jesus referred to it as the Holy Spirit, sent from God to teach us the truth. Jesus, we talked about this in one of the messages last month. Jesus said, your word is truth. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, the mind of Christ, he's called several different things in the Bible. He's not going to contradict. And you and I have assurance for that. When we hear teaching, I used to watch her run before I came to Christ. That's when I was searching, I was leaning that way. And he was on every Sunday morning. I thought, cool, I don't have to go to church. I'm just this TV preacher. And then one day he started talking about, there is no good old hell. You know, when you die, you just go back to the grave on the dead day. And I thought, wow, I've had no Sunday school upbringing that doesn't sound right. And I went to the Bible. I went to the scriptures that had been shared with me at the time. Nope, says right there, there is a burning hell. There is a lake of fire that you're not going to die. You're going to an unconscious state. Luke 16, Jesus said the rich man was buried in hell. I quit watching. And I wasn't a Christian. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm saying that had been instilled in me as a young man that the Bible was God's word. I chose to walk away from church and from the Lord. I chose that lifestyle that I lived. Of sexual immorality, drug abuse, the whole nine yards. I chose that. Did I know better? Yes. God had mercy on me. I don't know why some unbelievers. Since I wasn't living with Christ. Armstrong started teaching that. Red flag on me. She said, Bible says. That's the attitude you need to have. Because what does the Bible say? Greg showed me a book, a Sunday book. What does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? That's great. That's what I endeavor to do here. What does the Bible say? Not what did Uncle Joe and Aunt Jenny or Granny Philip say. What does the Bible say? Because they may be wrong. If they've been taught wrong, they're going to teach you wrong. False preaching makes for false conversions. Jesus said many. He didn't say a few. He said many on that day are going to say to me, but Lord, I preached in your name. I've done miracles and wonderful works. And Jesus said, I'm going to say, I don't know you. I don't want to be in that crowd. And that's the danger we run if we listen to false teachers. Search it out. Search out the scriptures. Paul told the young pastor named Timothy that the scriptures are divinely inspired. The Greek says God breathed. And they're profitable for teaching, for exhortation, for rebuke. We don't like that part. Don't rebuke me. Because sometimes God rebukes us, doesn't he? Yeah, this isn't a rebuke, but what I'm trying to bring you today, this is a warning. We have to be careful, church. I've known some people that were very decent people, very moral people, that wouldn't know God if he walked down the street in a red suit. And that doesn't make them go into heaven when they die. You reject Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only source of life there is. You're not going to make heaven your home. I don't care how many times a day you bow your knees. I don't care how many Our Fathers you say. You are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven if you follow false teaching. And that's why John wrote this letter to the church. He saw the red flags going up all over, and he goes, well, I got to do something about this. I got to line these guys up.
Yeah.
So the next time you turn on your favorite TV preacher or pick up a book that you like, especially if it's a theological format, consider what you're reading and compare it to the Word of God. Consider what you're hearing and compare that to what the Word says. Because that might not be the Spirit of God. That's what John's saying. He's not trying to make this terrible. He's not trying to make us see a demon behind every bush. But he's saying, just because somebody says God says, don't take that as God's Word. Get into God's Word. Next week, we're going to talk about the other side of this, where he tells the church, you have received God's Spirit. You don't even need me to try to teach you this. You should know this. Would you stand with me?